Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. Tech Vibe Radio every single Friday night here on KDK. Having way too good of a time bringing you what's happening in Pittsburgh's tech sector. And I got Jason Wolf hanging out with me again. Came back.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't stay away.
I know.
I was leaving and they were like,
yes, please stay. One more show.
Can you do it? I got it in me.
Jason, I love having you co-host because you bring a cool perspective to the show.
That's cool.
Because you're a dude that has built many a company over the years. I mean, you've been a big part of Pittsburgh's tech sector. And you're thinking about things way different than I am. I've never built a company in my life. I've, for 20 years, been witnessing folks like you, men and women like you, build companies. But I've never done it myself. But to have someone that's been there in the trenches, building stuff, selling stuff.
Well, that means you're sane. I'm insane.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is you're crazy.
You're crazy. And I'm not.
And I'm not. But you know what I'm saying. But anyhow, but I love the perspective you bring when we're interviewing guests because we're thinking about things that I'm not. So I think it works out well. And Audrey's always pumped for you to fill in for her when she can't make it into the studio.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks for taking the time and hanging
out. Sure, absolutely.
So tell our listeners about what you're up to.
What's going on?
Days.
Yeah, so we're still building Gift Card Granny.
I like
it. So, you know, we sold giftcards.com last year to Blackhawk. And, you know, they're actually expanding their office up here in Foster Plaza.
You were telling me about that. How exciting is that?
Because awesome.
Many times when a company is bought, someone buys it because they want the IP behind it, and they're going to take it to their own little place and build it from there.
That's right.
But they kept it in Pittsburgh.
They kept it here.
Why did they do that?
You know, I think in the initial sale agreement, we were going to help transition the technology over to their technology in California.
Okay.
So a large majority of the employees were going to lose their job.
Okay.
So within about 2 months after selling the company, they got in, looked at the technology.
Yeah.
They started working with the great people of Pittsburgh.
I mean,
we do have some really, really good people in our region.
We surely do.
And they're not afraid to work.
I know.
And the culture, we were talking about culture earlier, was a great culture.
Right.
And they decided to keep the platform and keep everybody employed.
That's so cool.
And so they ended up moving everybody up to Building 10 here in Foster Plaza. And now they're just expanding here in Pittsburgh. So it's great.
That's a great story. Hopefully they're bringing in folks from California
into
Pittsburgh. Show them how we do it, right?
I know. Right? Well, it's a great. I think if you look at, you know, either coast and where they're looking to, you know, expand, and I think Steve Case from former AOL executive talks about this.
He does.
With the center part of the U.S. and we are one of those cities,
right?
You know, Austin's getting a little more expensive. Here, it's still affordable. We have universities. We have
all the
healthcare
right
system. We have. Yep. The airlines we've talked about a few weeks ago.
I know, exactly. Right.
And so I think that more of that's going to happen. I think we are, you know, what I do is build companies and been doing it for a long time.
I know. You've been doing this since the 90s.
Mid-90s. I started the first coupon site in 1995. I
love it, man.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, all right, I'm going to start writing this code. I was learning Perl and writing code.
Oh, my goodness.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't think, you know. The girl I was with at the time thought I was crazy. She said, yeah, I don't know. This is kind of like CB radio. You're not going to make it. I was like, I am. I swear to God.
Yeah.
But, so I've been doing it for, I can't believe, 95. So it was like 22 years.
22 years, I've been with the PTC since 97.
Wow.
So I'm on 20. And I think about all the companies that have been built. Some that are still here. Some that have, you know, that were sold. And some that went away. And it's been really... really neat.
So you've seen Lycos?
The Lycos.
You've seen Free Markets?
Exactly.
Be Free?
Yep.
It's a bunch of them.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
old school.
Bringing back memories, man.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what we're doing. I'm building Gift Card Granny.
Yeah.
We just had a couple guests on. I'm talking about culture.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to match our hiring process
with
our culture.
Because your people are so critical.
They're critical, but...
You can't have a bad hire.
You can go through the process of finding a good employee to come into your business, However, if your culture and that employee doesn't match, that's a problem.
It does.
And I don't think a lot of companies really look at the cultural fit between the candidates, well, nor do they even know what their culture is. So you say, what is your culture like?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you gotta know
hey,
your
it's
culture
a fun
is.
Culture. Well, what
right.
does that mean?
What does that mean? It's because you have a foosball table over there. It
doesn't
means
mean
fun,
anything,
right?
Right. So, yeah, some companies are forward-leaning. Some companies are more relaxed. Some companies value intellect. Mm-hmm. Some companies value humor.
Absolutely.
And so you really have to go through finding out what your culture is. And we're focusing on that right now as
cool.
we're starting to build Gift Card Granny up.
And speaking of culture, we're going to have part two tonight from Dimitri
awesome.
Shirey from Deloitte. They do so many studies on workplace culture and,
do they?
And measuring it. And so we're going to have that on tonight, which I'm always excited
to
bring
to
them on. Yeah, Dimitri's one of those regulars on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, you know, it's like anytime you want to come on and talk about what's going on, you do it because he's got some great stuff.
I think I read something about him. He had a colleague in France.
Okay.
That he decided to do an exchange program between, you know, his kids and their kids.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, he come over to the United States and live with us for a few weeks in the summer.
Okay.
Like,
nice.
That's a great idea.
I could see that. I could see that being
I
true.
Like, I got to try
awesome.
Doing that.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So I'm curious with your experience having built companies and just you being a businessman as far as that goes. This summer I thought was so interesting when Amazon bought Whole Foods. We're seeing some really big shifts going on in the greater technology and retail space.
Yeah.
This crazy merger is going on.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Well, Amazon, you know, getting into the grocery business. I mean, grocery business is a $675 billion.
We all got to eat, man.
That's right. So they can't ignore it.
Right.
Amazon has to get into it.
Yeah.
They tried doing Amazon Go. I don't know how successful that was. And I think they tried some other things in the grocery area. Looking at Whole Foods, I think their stock was probably depressed.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that was, it made sense. I think.
You see a moment that's a time to pick something like that up.
To pick something up.
A bargain.
Yeah. And because I think a lot of the successful companies have the online presence and the offline presence. And I think Amazon's going to need that.
Okay.
So it kind of makes sense if you think it through. Like,
interesting. Yeah. I was like, wow. I don't know.
Yeah.
The changes are so rapid and keeping up on it, I think it's just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So that's very interesting insight, man.
Yeah.
So it's Pittsburgh in the summertime.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, I don't know where the time has gone, but it's been a crazy summer. What's some things you've done this summer?
This summer
yeah,
for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
what have you been up to, man? I always got to switch gears
well,
around here.
Well, it's crazy. Well, getting personal, I guess. Yeah, I have a life-changing event coming up. I'm getting married in September.
Whoa,
yeah.
Back up. Congratulations.
Sure, yeah,
okay,
you,
that's
yeah.
something to talk
it's
about.
It's a pretty big deal.
How exciting is that?
Yeah, it's good.
Good
and
deal.
So that was you know.
You've been spending your summer preparing for that.
You know, I've been spending my summer paying for that. Susan, my fiance, does a lot of the work to her credit. She's
absolutely.
Doing a great job. And
cool.
And I just say, yes.
Yes.
That looks good.
That
looks
great,
looks
too.
Great.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, we're getting married. I was in Italy with
okay.
my son. So we went to Italy for a week.
Fantastic.
Which is great. And I'm Italian, half Italian.
Okay.
So going there was interesting because I see a lot of people that kind of look like me.
Like, yeah, you're like, oh, wait a second. I think there could be a connection
I think I'm
going
Italian
on here.
Here.
I like it.
It's a beautiful place. And, you know, I'm going down to the Amalfi Coast and the shore down there was just beautiful. So it was really good. And I'm building a house. And,
yeah.
So I got a lot of stuff going
wait,
on.
That's the house where the logs are coming from Montana,
yes.
right?
That's right.
I remember you telling about that. That's
right.
impressive. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's
we're building a house down in Deep Creek.
Okay.
Deep Creek Lake. And so, yeah, we got some logs delivered out here from Montana by Jacob Boss, Boss
yeah.
Logs.
Okay.
That's the name of the company. Boss Logs.
Boss
I mean, come
logs.
On. What a great name.
Does he drive around in a white Cadillac with bullhorns?
He's awesome. Yeah, he does. He's great. He's amazing craftsman. They don't make people like that anymore that actually will go out to the woods, pick the tree, cut it down, you know.
Ship it over.
Peel it, turn it. Set it up, bring it out, set it up. It's just
that's
amazing
what I'm
process.
About,
so yeah, that's what I've been doing a lot. How about you?
Good stuff.
How's your summer going?
I've been preparing for Tech 50. We're gonna be announcing finalists pretty soon.
When is that?
Yeah, I mean, actually, the finalists. It's gonna be happening October 12th.
October 12th
is the big event. So we're gearing up for that.
That's man. Always such a great event.
We love it, man.
Yeah.
It's the 50 fastest growing companies.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, I went to Utah for a few days. Rode bikes with my buddy Jeff.
Nice. How far did you go?
That all over the place, man.
That's beautiful country out there.
Four Corners, man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Was it hot?
Yes.
It's scorching.
And it makes Pittsburgh feel
like
an
aquarium.
Is
that how you got this tan I see?
I got
here.
This beautiful tan. Yes. It's a trucker tan. If I pull my sleeves up, you'll see, man. I'm almost transparent in the middle and I'm deep fried on the ends. So, anyhow, I'm so glad you're hosting with me tonight. We had so much fun hosting the show together. As I said, we have Dimitri stopping by for a segment that recorded earlier this summer. We got Joel Reed from OpenArc. And of course, we also have SDLC Partners. They spun off a new company called Silumina.
I can't wait.
A cybersecurity company. So, good stuff. Yeah. Keep your dial tuned right here for more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting with Jason Wolf. We'll be right back after this quick break and learn more about the PTC by going to pghtech.org. Hey, everybody. It is absolutely 100% positively true. You are listening to Pittsburgh's one and only tech show, Tech Vibe Radio, here on KDKA. Every single Friday night, bringing you the very best of what's happening here in Pittsburgh's technology and business sectors. And we had promised part two. We do many parts here. Part two to Deloitte's, it's kind of a culture series we've been doing, for lack of a better term. Culture, people, making the workplace work the way it should when everyone's kind of rowing the boat in the same direction, all that kind of good stuff. And we are going to be talking about team chemistry and how to develop that. And we have one, Dimitri Shirey, here with us. Dimitri, thanks for hanging out with us again tonight, this Friday night. Do appreciate you taking the time to put on the old lavalier that we're using here to capture all the good content that we got going on.
Jonathan, it's always great to be on the show. Good to see you, and thanks for having me back.
Without a doubt. Just to level set with our listeners here, who is Dimitri Shirey?
Well, Jonathan, I'm very fortunate to serve as the managing partner of Deloitte here in Pittsburgh. Have 37 years of business experience with a principal focus on financial services companies, process and industrial products companies, as well as energy companies.
37 years. That's impressive. I'm on year number 20 at the PTC, and I'm thinking like I've been around the block. I've only been halfway around the block as far as you're concerned, so that's quite the accomplishment. 37 years, you must be passionate about what you do.
Deloitte is a great place to work, and I'm very fortunate to be part of the organization.
Without a doubt. And just tell our listeners real quick, what are some of the key things that Deloitte does to keep the doors open here?
Well, Jonathan, we're the largest professional services firm here in Western Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
And, we principally go to market through four distinct lines of business. We have the audit practice, we have the tax practice, we have financial advisory services, which principally focuses on risk, regulatory, and compliance type matters, as well as our consultancy practice, which includes strategy, operations, human capital, and technology. So when you think about our business model, we really are an end-to-end, full-service professional services provider.
100%. And if you go to Deloitte.com, you have some great research on there. I mean,
there's incredible content out there for
any industry. I mean, you can scroll for hours just to learn. I mean, you guys literally, like, this is what you're known for, is your content. And bringing a little bit of that here to the airwaves is way too much fun. And as we had promised last week, we were talking about this. There's a whole thing around team chemistry here, and when it comes to having the right people doing the right things at the right time. Tell us about that, Dimitri.
Well, when you think about dynamics of groups, it really is about understanding different team members' preferences and behaviors, because I think what every organization wants to do, it wants to build their teams, whether they're internal-facing teams or external-facing teams serving clients, it wants to build their teams with inclusivity and diversity of different skill sets as well as different personality traits, because not every one of us is fluent in each other's language, each other's preferences, each other's thought processes.
We all bring a talent.
Right? We all bring a different perspective.
Exactly. I've always known about the brake pedal, gas pedal, very simple method that when you're running a business, you need someone willing to take risks and someone saying, don't take all those risks. And we have someone kind of controlling. But this is way more complex than that.
But with that said, though, I mean, think of conversations that you've been in with somebody who has been identical to you in their approach.
It gets boring after a while. You think you're really good.
You think you're really good because you agree with one another all the time.
You're brilliant. Okay? You're just like me.
So there isn't necessarily any diverse thought with respect to trying to address a complex business issue to arrive at a solution. So the idea really is to build a team that has diversity with respect to thought. And so one of the things that we focus on within Deloitte is business chemistry. And it's really better to understand the behaviors of individuals and the different attributes that they bring to the table in order to develop the best team in order to address the most complex issue.
Makes total sense. Now, within that, there's, I guess, let's look at overview. There's like four or so different types of sets that kind of come to the table, and then being able to pair them up and match them up.
Yeah, sets are, yeah. I might refer to them as distinct business styles.
I like that, business styles.
And so when you think about those four styles, you know, we kind of categorize them in four different buckets. You know, there's the driver bucket, there's the pioneer bucket, the integrator bucket, as well as the guardian.
Okay.
And what's interesting is each one of those distinct business styles has certain characteristics that, as a leader, you may very well want to have on your team.
Okay.
In order to bring diverse thought and diverse mind to the table to address whatever the challenge might be, whether it's from a firm perspective or whether it's from a client perspective.
Exactly. And then basically being able to put these different folks together allows you to bring the best mindsets to it.
It does.
And I'm assuming there's some people that maybe have a couple of these. Like someone could be a driver, you know, and a pioneer at the same time. But they might be heavier on one angle than another. So based on where they are on that scale, you can kind of build your team and cement the right people in place?
Yeah, and Jonathan, it might be helpful just to, you know, get a snapshot of what some of the different characteristics are of each distinct business style.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you think about a driver, you're thinking about an analytical thinker who is intellectually creative and prefers experimentation versus theorization. Pioneer, big blue sky thinker. Yep. Don't bother me with the details. Yes. I got a great idea. Of course it's a great idea. And yes, it will work.
The wagon's packed. I'm heading west and it's going to be successful.
Exactly.
I like it. Absolutely. You know,
the integrator is the master consensus builder, making sure that everybody is on the same page and feels good that they've made a contribution to the overall effort.
Right.
The guardian is looking for concrete reality and particularly skilled at providing structure and minimizing risk.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, most of us have two distinct business styles, and one might be greater than the other, but by and large, we have a preponderance of having two. There's a smattering of all four in all of us.
Yeah.
But there are typically two that stand
out.
That really rise to the top.
What two are you, do you think?
What two am I?
Yeah.
Well, having gone through the business chemistry methodology, my results show that I'm both a pioneer and a driver.
That makes total sense to me. I think I would have picked those two just knowing who you are, Dimitri.
Well, as a matter of fact, Jonathan, I'm heading west on Friday.
Yes, so. You are. So, see, you're living up to it already, man.
I've got the caravan packed and I'm going out the door.
So then how does somebody then start implementing this? And can you be a small company and implement this? I mean, anyone from a five-person shop to a massive organization, how does it scale?
Well, Jonathan, I would be lying to say that I don't use these same thoughts and principles on my wife. So,
okay.
As far as understanding business chemistry
and what
does or doesn't work.
So these are almost like universal laws of just how the world works, right?
Yeah. And you can use them both in a professional environment as well as in a personal environment.
Absolutely.
So whether it's business or whether it's at home, there's relevance to these different styles and how to get... interpret and understand people's behavior.
Absolutely. And we got a couple minutes left, so what would be the big takeaway from somebody after we're talking about this, that the idea when you're building teams, putting things together, fundamentally the key things you should be doing as you build these teams together, what should we be thinking about?
I think the key walkaway is that you need all four.
You need all four.
You need all four to be present and accounted for on any team, because what you're really looking to do is you are looking to take the peaks at each one of those characteristics from a driver, from a pioneer, from an integrator, and from a guardian, and meld them together in an overall team so that you get diversity in thought, as well as inclusivity, which is, of course, a very key aspect in building team. So if you have all four present and accounted for, there's a high probability that you're going to get a better answer. You're going to get a better outcome.
The more minds, the better with looking at things at different angles.
Absolutely.
It just brings something that you know is going to be something that one mind or one mindset would not bring.
Correct.
And Deloitte's thinking about this kind of stuff. This is why I'm so glad to have you guys here on the show talking about this, because we want to bring a little bit of your expertise, spread it out to the world here through the show.
And Jonathan, I think the other thing important to note is that, you know, business chemistry is just not qualitative. It truly is quantitative.
Absolutely.
In the context of the science behind it. There is truly a scientific aspect with respect to business chemistry that then translates and transfers into the qualitative aspects of trying to understand each other's preferences and styles.
Fantastic stuff. People learn more, go to Deloitte.com. They can check you out and learn more all about this stuff. Dimitri Shirey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Good, good stuff. We're taking a quick break. We are coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org.
Hey, everybody. You're tuned into Tech Vibe Radio. There's no messing around. There's no mistake on your dial. You're listening to the best show on Friday night.
We're driving it home.
We're driving it home with Jason Wolf from Gift Card Granny. Thanks for hanging out with us, Jason.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
We have way too much fun doing the show. Absolutely, man. And Audrey, thank you for hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, she's such
in
a
her
great
place.
Woman. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Nah, good, good stuff, man. And like I said, we love talking to the coolest companies, and we got one of them right here with us. We have Open Arc with us.
Heard
we have jewelry. I know. Way up in the North Hills. Way up in the North Hills.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jonathan, Jason. Yeah.
Thanks for making the long drive down 279.
With all that construction.
And craziness. Yeah. I still cannot figure out the exits on 279. Sometimes I go far left, and then I can't get to the Veterans Bridge. Sometimes I stay right, and you got to
It is confusing.
How long is that going to last?
Forever. Yeah, they're never going to.
It's never over.
I had Google Maps set to walking mode, so when I plugged the address in
4 hours.
It's going to take me 2 hours to get here. I'm a little nervous today.
Like, what?
I thought it was the construction on 279.
Exactly. That's crazy. Well, we're glad you got here in one piece,
Joel. Yes, thank you.
So quickly, tell our listeners about OpenArc in general. What is OpenArc? What do you guys do? And then I'm hoping we can nerd out on a little virtual reality technology that you guys are playing.
Absolutely, Jonathan.
Cool. You know,
we're a consulting company. We've been around for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
My partner, Bethany Simon, and I started the company back in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We both, my wife had a baby, and she and her husband had a baby, so we both have 2 7-year-old kids.
Whoa, check that out.
And a 7-year-old company. And,
it's like this is well, meant to happen.
Your company's not a baby anymore at 7 years. You guys are beyond that.
You're like a tween now at this point, right?
Yep.
That's great. You mean
And I don't know what we were thinking doing both of those things at the same time.
I was going to say, are you a glutton for punishment?
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
I got to talk to your wife. She's a special woman.
My wife and her husband were very supportive, so awesome. They've been a big part of our success.
What was the inspiration for starting it?
So we're a consulting company. We do software development and IT staffing services.
Right.
Bethany and I feel like we have tons of experience and some of the best in our industry in these two spaces.
Mm-hmm.
We always wanted to do a company together with these two parts.
Right.
And so we started in 2010 with her placing me at a job where I could work 4 days a week and take the fifth day to work on OpenArc.
Ah.
And that was the start.
I like it.
Worked out of my house for a while, made spaghetti for our employees over lunch.
Nice.
Took it from there. So we're about 90 people right now.
You have 90 folks working.
90.
Where are you located?
We're in Wexford.
Wexford.
We have consultants around Pittsburgh. Our team is right on the intersection there of 79 and 910.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever make it through that construction traffic, Jonathan, you find us.
Is that where the King's restaurant is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right, Jason.
Sure. And T-Bones.
Yes.
And T-Bones.
Shout out to T-Bones and Sorgles.
Very cool. So 7 years in business, 90 people.
Yeah.
Did you think you'd be 90 people in 7 years?
Neither of us did. You know, both of us really just started the company because we loved what we did.
Right.
Thought we could help out our customers more just having our own company
mm-hmm.
and directing it. We just kept doubling every year in size as we served our customers well. And so here we are in 2017, 2 7-year-old kids and a great group of people that we get to work with.
So you do full stack development?
We do,
Full stack front end, back end?
Yep.
And then maintain?
Yeah, .NET, mobile application development, virtual reality, which we're gonna hopefully talk about today, and full stack from back end and front end.
So there's not a problem you can't solve.
No, and we have a great group of recruiters, technical career coaches who help our customers find people, and then also a lot of those people end up at OpenArc. So
Very cool.
Yeah, great group of people.
So let's talk about this virtual reality thing.
Yeah.
So this is game-changing stuff, and it's just at the, you know, we're just at the forefront of this.
Yeah.
And it's going to change a million times over between now and probably the next, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But.
People say it's in the toddler years.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah. So why did you guys get into VR?
Our customers were asking us about doing this. We have folks who have game development experience, which meshes really well with some of the leading platforms that you do virtual reality development on, Unity, for example, being one of them. And so we took that experience in those teams and our human-centered design experience that we do with applications and brought it into the realm of virtual reality to help people who were looking to innovate. A lot of times it was groups in the marketing department who were looking for something innovative to do and demoing their products in the marketplace.
You said demoing products, I think, is interesting because, like, whenever I think of virtual reality at first, you think it's like games and things like that. But it's not. It's, like you said, it's like demos for trade shows.
Yeah, we're really focused on the B2B kind of
thing. Yeah, the B2B side of it. Right,
as a consulting company, yeah. So some of these customers have these 8,000-pound manufactured components that they build, and it's cost millions and millions of dollars, right, to send these around the world and have
to get that to Vegas costs
them.
A lot of money, right?
Yeah. Far, far more economical to create a virtual reality experience and let someone interact with that 8,000-pound device upfront and close and personal.
So for, like, trade shows?
Yeah.
You can go up to the booth at the trade show, throw on a headset, and you're right there.
One of the folks we did this for, they had huge lines of people wanting to try out the VR. Sure.
So walk us through a scenario. How did this work for this customer? Can you give us you put the goggles on, what are you experiencing?
Yeah, so like we were talking about, VR is still new, right? A lot of people haven't experienced it, right? So we spent a lot of time thinking about how do you get someone at a trade show who just starts, who's never used VR before, to get kind of acclimated with it, right? Because you have to know how to move around in the virtual environment, how to grab things and explore, and it's kind of a little frustrating if you can't figure that out, right?
Right.
So, and then there's just some safety considerations, right? You have goggles on your head, you're in a trade show space with lots of people,
pointy
wires everywhere. You're in this virtual world, but you actually have this real world that could hurt you, right?
Exactly. So, when the virtual world and the real world collide, someone's getting stitches, right?
Yeah. That's right. So, we designed a space and a way to do this where the wires were coming up over their head attached to a boom above, where we had virtual boundaries in the space to protect them, so there's didn't have any of these real world collisions that we were looking out for. So you start the experience by just helping them acclimate themselves in the virtual environment, and then what we really try to do with these product demos is let them interact with the device and learn from themselves. That's what's really hot in VR right now, is just being able to explore and not just recreating what you could do on a mobile app or a website, but having it be a real experience where the interactivity of just being in the world is just so much different and compelling. So,
without a doubt.
Do you use the Oculus Rift headset?
Yeah, we used the Vive, the HTC Vive. The Oculus Rift and the Vive are probably the two leading platforms for this.
Oculus is a Pittsburgh office. I mean, they're using Pittsburgh talent to make the Oculus the Oculus.
Yeah. Yep. Great piece of tech. We love that platform and Vive, and really these goggles that used to be $8,000-$9,000, then gloves for another $8,000-$9,000.
Oh, goodness.
Can get the whole kit for $800 or $900 now.
Really? So. Oh, wow. Yeah, next year $99.
Wow. Yeah.
At Walmart.
Exactly. That's why it's so crazy, because, like you said, it changes so quickly.
Yeah.
That the barrier to entry becomes so much easier. So obviously you're seeing a real future in being able to develop more on these platforms, because you have customers that are going to want to be able to use this to market and to demonstrate technology.
We're finding, we're building these product demos, and then we're finding that, these are large units that take a lot of manufacturers that come together and put those systems together to make the platform. And they're looking at it and saying, we'd like to get and reuse this virtual experience you created and show our stuff, you know? So we're seeing partnerships between vendors who want to share their CAD assets and build on these demos. Seeing folks who want to build basically a virtual conference world experience. They have multiple units in there. And then people are then building on that to do training, employee training with these demos. So you can start off with a demo thing that you would take to a trade show, and then you can use it to train employees. So it can really be incremental, and that's really what we recommend for people, getting their feet wet with VR, to do something incremental.
Yeah, don't just jump in. Yeah, exactly.
It isn't its toddler years.
It's going to change so quickly. Steps. You put too much into it.
Do you see an opportunity for you guys to help like startups that are looking to do VR and they don't know how or what, and they could come to you with their business idea? Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sure some of the listeners would say, hey, you know, I want to do this virtual reality idea. I don't know what to do.
Yep.
They can go and talk to you.
We actually, the very first thing we recommend for folks like that is to just experience it if you've never experienced it. So we've hosted some happy hours at our office.
When is your next happy
hour? I'm coming.
Yeah.
Fear and virtual reality.
And everybody has headsets on.
Exactly, right. Around.
Try not to make anyone sick.
You need pads on the walls, though.
So if people go to your website, was it openarc.net?
Openarc.net/VR.
/VR. Will you have a listing when your next happy hour is going
to
be?
We will definitely put that up, Jonathan. Yep.
Yeah, and, because I'm telling you, people need to experience
it. Yeah, Jason, that's
you've got
point.
To experience
We're going to go.
Yeah.
Jason and I are going
to
hang out. We're going
to
be there drinking beers and doing virtual reality at the same time.
Just get padding around. <that way. laughs>
Extra padding for me, please.
All right.
That is very, very cool. And obviously, I encourage people to go to openarc.net. Just look at all the other services, as you've mentioned before. I mean, full stack, you name it, you guys are doing it. And virtual reality is just one of the latest things that you're putting together in that regards. How much fun do you get to have every day?
Tons of fun, especially when we're combining beer and virtual reality.
Exactly right, man.
Those are the highlights.
You answered that question correctly. So openarc.net. Joel Reed, thank you for stopping by the show today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Great
Fantastic.
To be with you guys
great
today.
Great to meet you. That's awesome.
See, Jason, this is why
good
I get
stuff
so
in
pumped.
Pittsburgh.
I know. There's too much great stuff.
And now we have a place to go for beer on Friday night.
And virtual reality.
Virtual.
All the same
on
time.
On the same time.
It's like all my dreams have come true. Right here on Tech Vibe Radio. That's why we do the show. And that's why we have Jason Wolf hanging out with us tonight, co-hosting, filling in for Audrey Russo. So my usual co-host and boss at the Pittsburgh Technology Council. You want to learn more about us and how we help technology companies succeed? Mosey on over to pghtech.org. Been doing it for like, I think, 34 years now.
What?
Yeah, ridiculous. Wow. The council's been around way too long. I'm on year number 20, man.
That's awesome.
I love it. Good, good stuff. Anyhow, we're taking a break. We're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirstening.
Jason Wolf.
Thanks for spending your evening here with us on Tech Vibe Radio, Pittsburgh's only technology talk show. Hanging out here with Jason Wolf from giftcardgranny.com. Jason, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, as always.
I'm repping the granny here.
You are repping the granny. Yes.
This is great.
And you are no stranger to Tech Vibe Radio.
No.
We love having you co-host when Audrey can't make it. So,
love it.
Yeah. We're down to our last segment. I always get a little sad in the last segment. I'm like, man, I want to do
more. See you again sometime.
I want to do more, yeah.
Hopefully you'll call me back.
There's going to be plenty of opportunities.
I hope so.
You're definitely coming back on the
good.
Show, man. We got a lot more Tech Vibe coming.
That's good.
In the coming year, man. Every Friday night. And I'm really excited about this segment because I just love watching Pittsburgh companies grow and spin off other companies. And SDLC Partners, longtime Pittsburgh Technology Council member, just one of Pittsburgh's top tech companies when it comes to they're just growing like leaps and
bounds. How many employees do they have?
It's got to be over 400.
400 local?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And they just spun off a new company called Silumina to focus on cybersecurity. And we have Carl Kriebel here who's leading that up to talk about
great.
This.
I've been dying.
I've been
this
dying
week.
To know yeah. more about this company because I know when SDLC does something, they do it
they
right.
They do it right.
They think these things through.
Well, it seems like they brought in the right guy.
That's absolutely. So, hey, we set you up, man.
welcome
to the show, Carl.
Yeah, great to be here.
So tell us about your background real quick. You've got a pretty extensive, cool background when it comes to all things cybersecurity.
Yeah, so I'm a Pittsburgher. I come from a consulting background, but I did 4 years in industry. And the rest of my time in professional career time has been spent in consulting. So I would say about 16 years in security specifically.
Okay.
Helping life sciences, healthcare, and financial services companies.
Nice.
So you know something about this.
Yeah.
I know a little.
Got a little bit of knowledge going behind this. Absolutely. And so Silumina, this is the new spinoff. What is Silumina?
So Silumina is focused on really cybersecurity strategy and implementation, and that's really design, build, and run services. And that's geared to help companies that are struggling with or even transforming their own security program.
Right.
We fit in a variety of different places.
Okay.
So we're really there to help.
Without a doubt.
Is there a focus on an industry that you're in?
Yeah, we're focused on healthcare, life sciences, and financial services. So akin to the background that I have.
Right.
As well, we see those being acute problems. There's a lot of regulatory challenges in those industries.
It's crazy. Yeah.
They have assets that are worth something, worth stealing.
Sure, so. Yeah.
And to keep that locked down.
That's correct. Yeah.
But it boils down to.
Yeah.
So the company was launched about 5-6 months ago. So you're just really getting out of the blocks right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And so who are you working with now? Like what are some of your first assignments? Like, what's
happening
out there?
You know, we're focused on local clients right now.
So you're concentrating on the Pittsburgh area?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But that said, there's certainly a network that I personally have, as well as some of the folks that work with us. We have some interested clients outside of the Pittsburgh area as well. I think our focus will be in Pittsburgh for the next year or so, and then we'll start to branch out.
And start scaling from that.
Yeah. Do you help companies that already have security platforms or systems? You come in and you kind of look at it and you overhaul what they're doing?
Yeah, so both. I think that generally speaking, companies are somewhere on the spectrum of meeting their obligations to the boards. And I haven't experienced a company, and I've worked with some of the largest companies in the world, who's confident that their capabilities are where they want them to be.
No one's ever where they really, really, really want to be.
That's right.
Because it's changing so fast.
Right.
And it's, like I said in previous shows, the web is a scary place.
Scary place.
It's just like people are just looking to do bad things all the time.
They want to cry.
They want to, exactly. But and so it's obviously cybersecurity has become a top concern for everybody
sure.
out there.
Big deal.
Literally.
Yeah, and to that point, what we're trying to do is really simplify the proposition. The challenge that these organizations have is there's so little money to spend on so many controls to deploy.
Right.
And the challenge is where to prioritize and how to get the largest return on investment. And I think what we're seeing is the struggle to demonstrate the return on investment. How do you measure the risk that still exists, that residual risk, after you've applied those controls and made those investments? The board wants to know, how are we doing? And they don't want to know what's the detail of some technical assessment on the network that's looking at data flows and events and all these things that happen on the network. They want to know, what's our residual risk? Have you applied the controls effectively? And are we getting return on investment? And I think that's where this has come to. It's really gone through a metamorphosis in the last 5 years, where cyber has really gone through this inflection point in investment. Now people are on the other end of that, and they want to know, okay, what am I getting for this investment? Am I any better off now that I've spent X millions of dollars?
Exactly.
Are we more secure than we were? Can you tell me how and demonstrate that through reports and analytics, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Give them everything to back that up.
Yeah, that's right.
Show it. Absolutely.
And so that's our focus.
Very cool. Very cool. So tell us a little bit about some of the analysis that you do as you kind of roll into a place. I mean, whether there's certain key areas that you start looking at immediately, or is it based upon what specific concerns might be of the client?
Well, we certainly go through a kind of a standard script of questions that we're interested in getting answers to. I think we're most interested in, have they done their blocking and tackling, so to speak?
Okay.
Do they have a framework they're following? And then from there, we can glean pretty quickly where the maturity is.
You can start seeing where you really need to go based on that first pass.
That's right. And if you look at standard frameworks, they're quite comprehensive. And these are NIST, ISO, even HITRUST in healthcare. And and they're very difficult and onerous to deploy, but necessary. We want to focus on the things of the highest risk nature in that control framework and say, these are the areas that you need to focus on an ongoing basis. You got to do the rest of the stuff. But let's apply the energy to these things, because that can really articulate to the board where our risk posture is. And that's what we're focused on.
Highest risk areas.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the best barometer to demonstrate, are we doing the things we need to do to protect the assets of the company?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever rolled in and you realize, I mean, so many people are just so behind the curve.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my. It's like a red flags like immediately go up.
I have seen, of course, I won't name names.
Right. You can tell us later, though.
No, I've seen local companies.
We're going to take a quick break here.
Exactly. We'll be right back after this quick break.
No, seriously, there has been scenarios where we would expect to see things like production information in what we call development environments. We'd expect to see that obfuscated or de-identified, because you don't apply the same control infrastructure in a development environment you do in a production environment.
Okay.
We've seen pervasive neglect
And pervasive neglect.
$20 billion company.
Is that called a PN or something like that?
That is exactly.
A lot of PN going on over here. Pervasive neglect.
Please feel free to use that. But yeah, and just that's a representation of one thing I've seen. But that when you see that, you know there's sort of a crisis going on that they're unaware of. So it's really bringing that awareness and saying, guys, hold on, time out. You know, let's start doing the things we need to do in a prioritized fashion. But in those cases, it's tens of millions of dollars to change that. So it's cultural.
You're talking about the development environment?
Yeah.
So before stuff gets pushed into production, the development environment within the company is not secure.
It's not secure. Well, I'm less concerned that it's not secure if they're using the platform, non-sensitive data. But if they're using sensitive data and they have offshore guys
writing
code and grabbing stuff.
Right, and it's in India, it's
wherever,
in South America. Right. They can't even attest to, you know, do we even do background checks on these people? And mostly the answer is no.
Right. Exactly.
So it's scary stuff.
So as you mentioned before, it keeps changing. Everything with cybersecurity, the threats keep evolving. Everything becomes scarier as far as I'm concerned. What's keeping you up at night? What do you see that's really starting to bear down on us these days that people maybe aren't paying attention to or they should be paying attention to?
Yeah, I think there's a book called Future Crimes that will scare the pants off you if you read it.
I like my pants to be on.
So aside from what you may read in those books, I think we're losing, and according to that story, we're losing the fight against the criminals because they're – and the money that backs their ability to go after the data is greater than our ability to police it because we have far more resources to try to protect than they do to try to go after. That said, I think there's too big of a dearth of talent, and I think that's the thing that keeps me up at night as a business owner.
Right.
I need to make sure that our training is up to snuff and we can continue to sort of innovate ourselves and keep folks ahead of that curve and our team. But finding that team has been a challenge.
Are you going to use folks from SDLC to help you to build the business?
We are. Right. Where
say you know some people. Come on.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, when we've had great opportunities to work with some folks in SDLC, and that's an easy way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Sort of path of least
resistance. Absolutely. So this is why I'm just pumped. I love seeing these types of things happen where, you know, SDLC spins this off to address really big problems like this, and I just think I can't wait to watch how you guys grow and evolve, you know, over the coming years. And you're just getting out of the blocks now. I just think it's very exciting. And if people want to learn more about Cylumina, where can they go? If someone's sitting by their laptop right now, they can.
www.cylumina.com.
Okay,
is our website.
Do you have a Pinterest page? I'm kidding.
Sorry. Yeah, we're working on our affiliations and certainly doing speaking, consortiums and conventions and stuff like that. But for now, I think if folks are interested, if you have a career interest or you're generally interested.
If you're in the hiring mode.
Like, sure. Yeah.
And Pittsburgh is big for that. There's a lot of security companies here. Yes. NCFTA is in Pittsburgh.
They're right upstairs from us.
Yeah.
I could tell you crazy stories, man. Sure. Like there's black cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
All the time. And I like that. It makes me feel better. Like we got some real talent that's fighting the evil forces out there.
So we're in the right location.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're, you know, certainly I think the market here in Pittsburgh is growing and we have that ability. We're focused on more efficient security implementation. Just my pitch for our differentiation, we're focused on lean principles, better process design for executives and cyber leadership. And I think that makes us a little different. But at the same time, we're different in a lot of ways. And I don't know the security firm you mentioned, but there are security firms focused exclusively on technical interrogation and whatnot, but others are focused on different aspects, maybe physical security.
Right.
So, yeah, they're not all two are pretty equal.
Usually. Absolutely. Well, we're glad that Cylumina is out there doing what you're doing. Carl Kriebel, thanks for stopping out and hanging out with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Very cool stuff.
Great
Jason,
to meet you.
All right.
Thanks for hanging out with me.
Awesome.
Helping me co-host this show. I couldn't do without you.
Time goes by.
I know. An hour goes by like wow. Nothing, man. But there's more Tech Vibe Radio, and I guarantee you there'll be more Jason Wolf in the near future.
Back.
Yeah, you're always got the
Jonathan's
open door
great.
Pause. Anytime you want to co-host with us, just let us know,
thank
man.
You.
Come on in here. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. If you want to go to
giftcardgranny.com.
GiftCardGranny.
Check it out. Maybe if you have some old gift cards looking to get rid of, gift cards, you can do it.
Come over
site.
To our website and we'll buy them and we'll resell them.
I'm just saying.
That's what we do.
I'm just saying. Everyone, have a great weekend. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And Jason Wolf.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.